In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani discuss the effect of religious association on classical music.
So Yehuda Hanani, I've been thinking about this terrible fight you and I have been having over the old versus the new, the fact that if people aren't really aware enough, because classical music has always seemed to me to be a little bit of Cosa Nostra, in other words, our thing, by a closely held group. And if somebody dares to applaud between a movement or something, they get people hiss them and, you know, want to kill them. I've been thinking about that. Now, you doing a very interesting thing at your concerts at Close Encounters with Yehuda Hanani, and you get up and you tell them a little bit in the beginning about what to expect. Is that important?
It's very important because sometimes, especially today, we are not as connected with this music as people were even 50, 60 years ago. Styles have changed. Music has changed. So if you listen to a quartet by Mozart or even a piece by Bartok, it's nice to frame
it. Yes, I like Bartok's work very much. Yeah. There's something familiar about it.
Yeah, well, it's...
Bartok, you see.
Ah, I get it.
Okay, he got it.
Chartok, Bartok, Kartok.
Yeah, Kartok too.
Yeah, good. But to go back to the complexity of how challenging interpretation can be, let's look at another aspect of it. The question of liturgical music. Okay?
Cantatas. Otherwise known as religious music.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Religious music. So we have cantatas and masses and oratorias, and they are repeatedly presented in secular settings, in concert halls.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Elijah, the Messiah, all these famous. We go to the concert hall to hear them. What are we to make of it? I mean, is this a religious service when you go? What exactly is it? When you hear Kol Nidre, right, on the radio, you hear Buddhist chant out of context.
Well, if you hear Kol Nidre, you know very well that it's a religious and a sacred
piece of
music.
Yes, I know. But in order to...
If you're a Jew.
Okay.
But if you're not, you might not know.
All right. My question is, in order to interpret it correctly, any of these pieces, do you have to be a believer? Do you have to actually identify with a religious message here?
Certainly not.
In order to successfully present the piece?
Certainly not.
Okay, I agree with you. But it's complex because if you were a priest and you had this done at a service at the church, this would be hypocritical if you did that as an actor, right? If you acted it as theater, it had to be an expression of your faith, right? So you take the same material and you bring it to a concert hall and all of a sudden... We view it differently. There's a different interpretation here, right? Does a teacher of ethics have to be ethical?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And frequently it isn't.
Yeah, alas, true. So there is a problem here. You see, there's an alteration in our experience of whatever it is.
I keep thinking of Al Jolson in The Jazz Singer. You know, I mean, here he is, the son of a rabbi in the character, son of the rabbi, who stops singing jazz in order to go back and sing Kol Nidre, which you mentioned during that time. So the context becomes very important.
Yeah. Let's go back to the amazing treasures of medieval art, okay? All these gilded, the icons and the reliquaries and the triptychs that we see in the cloister in New York, you know.
Sure.
We experience all these things out of context.
Well, we have to.
All these works are not serving their intended original purpose.
If you are sure, you know the intended original purpose. Let me just finish this one sentence, and that is that there have been many people who have written within a religious context, but they had no real meaning about religion. They wanted to get it out, but they had to go through the accepted genre of the time. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but when a painter paints an iconographic, the crucifixion or the resurrection or any of these... This is meant to be hanging over the altar in the church. Now, all
but
of a sudden,
I want to make a statement. When Machiavelli wrote The Prince, for example, there are many people who thought that his tongue was in his cheek as he was writing about the uses of power. So there are people who have gone within the religious genre.
I can't imagine that he was in a very happy mood. He was in exile.
Yeah, well, he had a lot of trouble. But he wrote this book, and a lot of people think that it was so that he didn't get, you know, himself decapitated.
But my question stands. I mean, Have we liberated all these works from the church, or have we imprisoned them in museums? One way or another, there is a drastic alteration in the interpretation of the works.
Well, that's absolutely right. I think you make a very good point.
That was Alan Chartok speaking to cellist Yehuda Hanani in our segment, Classical Music According to Yehuda. This weekend wraps up the High Peaks Festival, presented in association with Close Encounters with Music. To learn more, visit CatskillMTN.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WANC.